Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the DGDG.com studios, high atop the San Francisco skyline, this The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
It is our fourth and final hour this Monday evening, and we will go over all the big news that we got for you today. The Raiders win almost in an impossible-to-win situation. It's impossible to feel that the 49ers will give you a situation you can even feel good about rooting for in the near future. They have fallen to the category of worst team in the NFL, and nothing short of a full house cleaning of everything associated with this. I mean, everyone has to go. Even people who aren't guilty. You're guilty by association. The Yorks have ruined a once great franchise decidedly. Just like their family agenda has always been. They've got one thing that they've done right. They hired Jim Harbaugh. Every other move they make is a documented, unquestioned disaster. So that's all we're anticipating going forward. They were lucky. Jim Harbaugh was the outlier. He was not the status quo. And the status quo isn't even what Tom Sewell is capable of giving you. He will never be considered as a head coach ever again when he's fired. He should have been fired in Cleveland. There's no reason for him to be here. There's no reason for him to finish out the season. There's absolutely no reason to bring him back next year. And I'm sure he will be back next year as your head coach, because that is the path of least resistance. And that is the path the Yorks will now seek. 49ers at the Browns was the end of that franchise's credibility. And I'll let you know when it's back. They'll tell you it's back a lot earlier than I will. You don't hear it ain't official until you hear it from me. Believe me on that. They're going to sell you how quickly this can all get better. No. Not with the current people in charge. Let's go to Carlos calling from the Hilltop. What's up, Carlos? How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great, thank you.
I got in really fast, amazing. But the thing that I wanted to ask you is, next year's draft, the Niners, do you address the, like, D-line? Because they got a little bit of a linebacker, so, and you try to shore up the run D just to stay close.
They need it all. Carlos, they need it all. I mean, here's the thing. They need a running back. You know, I mean, they need it all. They need it all. They need all of it. They need everything. Whatever. They are in best available mode from pick one going on.
But don't you try to stay competitive by having a run defense first, and then maybe through free agency you go get a quarterback?
No. There's no notion to compete here. It's just making money. That's all it is now. There's no quest to win a Super Bowl. The suckers paid up front, the money spent, Levi Stadium sold out going forward, and you're all jackasses for buying in. And the Yorks know that, and they love it, and your money is already being spent and enjoyed by them, and you get nothing now. Don't you understand? No, for another $6,000, you can come eat marinated yak steaks at Michael Mina's. I heard they're delicious, very lean. Mm-hmm. Carlos, the reason why we got you in quickly is because I didn't want you to sit you behind the Dell replay. And that's what we get to right around this time each and every Monday. Jack was in a good mood this day. And we had an awful lot of stuff to talk about, from the what the hell are you doing 2-point conversion, which we learned after the fact Kondo was hurt, why that was happening. But this was an unreal football game. I've never seen two sides of the same coin look so different. It was an unmitigated offensive failure in the first half, and it was a defensive virtuoso performance from Khalil Mack in that second half. And we started with Raider head coach Jack Del Rio by asking him, Coach, have you ever been in a game where one half was so different from the other?
I don't know. Hard to say something like that. I'm sure there's some good ones along the way, but certainly yesterday fit that description.
It was great that the defense kept Denver out of the end zone for the entire afternoon. It was the only thing that kept you in the game in the first half. The defensive presence in situational moments was felt. What did you say at halftime to wake up the other half of your football team?
Well, we just talked about continuing to believe. You know, we went into Denver with the idea we were going to play a good 60 minutes and see what happened. And at halftime, it was about, hey, I believe, we all believe, let's express that belief and go out and play a full 60 minutes, play these last 30 minutes and like we believe we can, and see if we can't get this thing turned around. And I said it with a smile. I mean, I said, hey, I really believe we can do this. Let's go. And
so,
the guys, very calm, and guys were energized. We went out and took care of business.
It wasn't the dramatic fire and brimstone Al Pacino, we're fighting for inches everywhere speech. It wasn't that?
Oh, there were some other moments throughout the afternoon that had some of that. But at that time, no, it was really calm. It was really a matter of, hey, we can do this. Let's collect ourselves and go out there and believe we're capable of doing this, and let's go out and get it done.
Obviously, a lot of things aren't going very well on the way to minus 12 yards of offense in a half. Was it what you were doing? Was it what you were not doing? Was it something specifically Denver did to render the offense so invisible for 30 minutes?
Nope, it's capable of happening. You know, four drives, I believe, and four drives. I think we had one first down that was by penalty, and really, they shut us down. They did a good job. They're a good unit, and they had a great day, or at least a good start to it. The one thing at the end of the day is we scored two touchdowns and they didn't get any, and that ended up being enough.
It certainly did. Raider head coach Jack Del Rio here on the Damon Bruce Show. Khalil Mack with an incredible afternoon. When is the last time you saw someone have an impactful individual performance like that? I mean, he was Lawrence Taylor-like. He was as good as I've ever seen a linebacker play, I think.
Yeah, whether you call him linebacker or defensive end,
whatever,
either one is good with me. But he is he's a great young man, and he was absolutely dominant in every way yesterday. You know, not just rushing the quarterback, but making tackles behind the line, just disruptive the entire day. So, you know, excellent, excellent performance.
It seems like, and we have been asking you about this over the last month, I think the guy's just put together the best month of his career. His sacks were on the way up until this last afternoon, where he has five now. Was there a moment in a game or a play? Is there a moment, a catalyst moment, meeting, where you feel that his season and his potential really have been unlocked?
I don't really feel like there's one moment. I think it's a matter of the process of him, you know, working to be who he is. You know, it's the conditioning, it's the, you know, the mental preparation, it's everything. It's the reps, it's the coaching he's getting, obviously plays a part. I mean, you know, Jethro Franklin does a great job with that group. But I think, you know, more than anything, it's just him, you know, kind of it all coming together for him and him expressing his talent.
So Mack obviously gets a ton of credit, and I'm sure he picked home a game ball there. It's easy to see the guy laying on top of the quarterback and say, that guy's having a great afternoon. Who else deserves credit when a player has this type of a game? I mean, is Mario Edwards Jr. becoming a key in Khalil Mack's individual performance? Who is unlocking
him? No question.
Him?
Yeah, no question. Because if it were not for Mario, you know, destroying the guard and being in the quarterback's lap, you know, the quarterback would just step up into that pocket and step up inside of Khalil's rush, and there wouldn't you wouldn't be talking about the sack. So, yeah, I know guys like Mario, guys like Danico, Autry, you know, and then the coverage. You know, the quarterback having to reload. You know, a couple of those times he didn't have a place to deliver the ball, and then Khalil has that extra count, that extra half a count to get there.
Two plays to Denver tight ends that didn't click went a long, long way into you winning that game. I thought one of the biggest plays of the game that a lot of people probably don't even remember was Osweiler missing a wide-open Virgil Green. I mean, that's the game right there if he catches that. Vernon Davis, who was having a really good day, has the crucial fourth-down drop. Did you send Vernon a game ball, and do you know if he dropped that one too?
No, I didn't. I didn't get into any of that. It's a good, hard-fought football game, and you know we were able to hold them out, hold them down, and leave there with a big, big win.
Let's talk about the infamous two-point conversion. When that was going down, what was happening in your mind? And I was surprised that a second long snapper, it's not a next man up position in the next man up world of the NFL. Were you caught off guard by Conda not being in there, and you just said, well, we got to go for two here then? Was there any consideration of the field goal? And do you kick the field goal if they aren't back at 33 yards, if it's last year's rule book?
Yeah, I would say there would be a higher probability of an attempt to, if it were sitting at the two-yard line. You know, our situation, our snapper, you know, Conda was in the locker room seeing if they could get his shoulder back in place. And our backup snapper happens to be recovering from, you know, a wrist injury. He's wearing a cast right now. So,
Condo done the rest of the year, maybe?
It's possible. Yeah, we'll see. We're getting all the tests and gathering all the information, but it's likely we'll have to find somebody else to come in and handle those duties.
Tony Bergstrom, backup centers don't practice long snapping?
I think we have a few guys that have been practicing, but we just didn't feel comfortable with the effort.
Since you only needed the 1 point, did you consider just trying for it anyway? I mean, or was it just it seemed like it was all happening very quickly. How much thought did you put into maybe trying to field?
Yeah, what happens is you don't get the time that when you're making decisions like that to sit here and contemplate. I get information directly from the special teams coach that says we need to go for two. Our snapper's in the locker room, and so that's what we're doing. And that's the end of it. It's really pretty simple.
Well, I was really happy that it all ended up working out because obviously everyone was playing the, well, what happens if game?
Sure,
and,
sure.
You know, those what happen if games become everything that everybody talks about on Monday. If you go on to lose a game, but guess what? You ended up winning the game, and so
that's what happens. Listen, that's what happens anytime people don't understand and they jump to conclusions, and
right.
They think they have all the answers when they're sitting on their couch, or they're sitting behind the microphone, or whatever the case may be. Things like that come up, and they become more than what they really are. It's unfortunate. You have a snapper go down. You have a backup snapper with a cast on his hand. You need to go for two. Pretty simple.
Yeah. No. It was when it all came into focus, it was a lot easier to understand for sure in the moment. For a second there,
what are you doing?
What is this? His guy's lost.
What is Del Rio thinking?
His mind was pretty dark.
He's a mile high. What's he doing?
Hey, Chris Harris, Aqib Talib did a very good job on the afternoon, especially on Amari Cooper. It's his first game without a catch, and you know, I'm sure he was upset with his performance. He kept working at it. I think he was targeted 8 times. Wasn't a very successful day for your quarterback, for your rookie wide receiver. What do you do to put it behind him going forward?
We'll just do just that. Put it behind. Look, that's a good defense we played. You know, we went into a game, matched up against a really good defense. We got 2 touchdowns. They got none. At the end of the day, that's enough for us to win. And whatever other things we need to do in terms of gaining yardage and being better statistically, we'll work on that. You know, but a week ago, we won the statistical battle. You know, we had 150 more yards or whatever, all that stuff. It doesn't matter. It's who wins and loses. And so we won this week, and we're gonna celebrate that win. And then we understand there are things that have to be a whole lot better, and we'll work on it.
How important is it that you can turn around and sell to your defense, you won us a game for the first time all year long. The confidence, the bounce that you get for a, you know, the much maligned Raider defense, it's got to be a good week of meetings and, you know, set up in the reading room. You guys are feeling good about themselves.
Well, they should feel good about themselves. It was a very good effort. And there have been some other really good efforts during the year, and we're looking to have those as we build this team going forward. We expect to have a really dominant defense in due time, and we're working hard to get that done.
What grade does DJ Hayden get out of Sunday?
I'm not sure that he got an individual grade. I think as a unit, I thought we were pretty good.
Fair enough, Jack Del Rio, Raider head coach. Look, I know you don't like personalizing things, and I know you don't like waxing poetic about football relationships, but, you know, Jack Del Rio means defense, and you coached in Denver, and you and your defense this year prevented that Denver offense from scoring a touchdown in both the games you played. How much are you going to, like, you know, maybe give John Elway a call and say, hey, John, you see those touchdowns you didn't score this year? Like, I mean, does that feel, it's got to, you got to internalize that a little bit. Personalize that for me a little bit, Coach.
Can you repeat that for me? What'd you just say?
The Denver Broncos didn't score a freaking touchdown on you. Feel good?
I appreciate it. Yeah, thank you. That's good. That's good to know.
And that's all you need. Coach, thanks an awful lot. Before we let you go, we have to fast forward to the Green Bay Packers coming to town. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers, pretty good quarterback, right?
Yeah, really good. Really good football team. Really good quarterback. A lot of talent. You know, Clay Matthews, the third. Julius Peppers, they've got a good group, and you know, obviously Aaron Rodgers leading that offense, a very, very explosive offense. So, yeah, we've got a work cut out for us. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be a great opportunity here at home against a really good football team.
Are you going to tell Khalil you need 6 sacks this week?
No, we're gonna get him ready to go and do the best we can to get Aaron off the spot.
Thank you very much. Good to talk to you, Coach. Congratulations on the win. That was one hell of a turnaround in that football game. Congrats.
Thank you. Thank you, David.
Good to talk to Jack Del Rio again every Monday. We're live with Jack at 3:30. We give you the Dell replay right around 6:05 every Monday night in case you missed it. Damon, the Broncos lost it with defensive errors. I think the Raiders deserved it, but the Broncos blew the game. Here's the thing. The Raiders didn't even deserve it. They didn't. They should have lost that game. Every indicator of you're going to win or lose, it all pointed to they're going to lose. The only thing that the Raiders did well was punt the ball and have Khalil Mack get to the quarterback. They've had one. I mean, it was an afternoon of caught off guard, unprepared, not ready. And then it all comes together at the end, and next thing you know, you've won in an almost unbelievable, hard-to-wrap-your-mind-around fashion. That was a game the Raiders lose 10 out of 10 times, 99 out of 100, and they got it. They got it. It is a mini sign of culture change. It is a mini sign of improvement. And when you add up all these mini signs of things getting better, I think you're going to have a much better looking team next year. But just little steps, little stepping stone moments, I think that's significantly one of them. That's a game you asked to lose, and you still didn't. Getting back to the 49ers, Damon, I think it's funny about the Niners because Billy Beane messed up the A's 1,000 times worse than York did, but crickets on that one. The A's will never have credibility again until Billy's gone. Now, actually, see, this is where your own bias is coming into how you're evaluating things. Billy Beane is not worse and has not messed up 1,000 times worse than Jed York did. Jed York never knew what or how to do, pretended he did, and is now, for the rest of the foreseeable future, going to spend as little money as possible putting a winning product on the field. He's going to go cheap, not because he has to, because he wants to. The A's have to be cheap. Nah, that's a lie. That's a bold-faced lie that they've sold you. It's not true at all. But the A's business model was in play long before Billy Beane started making decisions, and his decisions are following a pattern of logic that was established by the team's spending model. Jed York's decisions are based in the logic of, well, my uncle was good at this, and I want to be good at it, too, and I'm going to be in big boy pants now. Where? No. Nope. No. Jed York's decisions are based in, I don't know how to do it. Even if I wanted to get it right, I just proved to you I never will. You know, there's going to be an end of the year press conference, and everything he says should be followed up with, yeah, but you thought this team would get better without Harbaugh. No matter what his vision is, no matter what he says is about to happen, the retort should be from everyone, yeah, but you thought Jim Tom Sula was going to be a greater teacher than Jim Harbaugh. That right there disqualifies you from all future conversations where we, by premise, take you seriously for a second. There is no more benefit of the doubt. Doubt is all that is reserved for you, and you're going to have to now prove the rest of us wrong. All of us, the rest of us, including the actual NFL, just sent Jed York the definitive report card on his ownership. You don't know what you're doing. He still thinks he does. I would, and I'm not kidding, because he's a big fan, there's no doubt in my mind that the Niners would be a more stable, easier-to-like franchise if they were run by Charlie Sheen. Charlie Sheen coming back from a full-blown hooker and heroin weekend wouldn't have fired Jim Harbaugh. No way. No freaking way. Be like, Charlie, why are you sticking with Jim Harbaugh? He'd be like, winning. And that's really what matters. That's really all that matters. Damon, I'm an A's fan. Don't defend Bean or the owners. They need to sell or change their business model. You're dead on with the Yorks, though. P.S., can you do the duck sound? No, there's no reason to do the duck sound right now. But I tell you, I don't want to make excuses for Billy Bean. Because at some point, you got to decide, well, you know, I want to not just pretend I'm in the country club. I'm actually going to go and try and, you know, win the country club tournament this year. And the A's just keep on postponing that until tomorrow's going to come. And the day before tomorrow's going to get here, they push reset on their own clock before they have to. Yeah, there's very little benefit of the doubt we'll be giving to the Oakland A's anymore. And we had Jim Bowden on today, and he said that they are going to be the worst team in the American League next year. Dead last place finish for the A's again. You can write that down right now. They're not prepared to compete at a major league level. And with that in mind, we can now guarantee you that Sonny Gray will be traded right before the All-Star game. So there it is. Poor Don. Poor 95-7 The Game sales staff. They got to go out and they got to sell the A's. I can't help you. I can't. I wish I had something positive to tell you. Here's what I got for the Oakland A's. The uniforms sure are handsome. Smart unis. That's about all I got. So when we come on back, we will have your calls and open lines the rest of the way. We will examine again 24 and 21. Not bad. 888-957-9575. This is, or 9570. How about that? This is the Damon Bruce Show.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Mike's Camera. Take advantage of our best deals of the year on the hottest brands, including Nikon, Canon, Sony, Olympus, GoPro, and a complete selection of photo accessories for everyone on your list. Our friendly and knowledgeable staff will help you pick out just the right camera for the shutterbug on your list. Buy with confidence with our low price guarantee and free perfect picture pack of $300 value. Mike's Camera in Mill Valley, Menlo Park, Pleasant Hill, Dublin, and Sacramento. Or shop online at mikescamera.com.
Mike's Camera, get you right to life.
5.7 The Game Sports Center update.
Week 14 wrapping up. I'm Gianna Franco. Monday Night Football, Giants and Dolphins in Miami. Dolphins with a 14-10 lead in the second over the Giants. Compliments of Lamar Miller, 38-yard rushing TD. Giants here at home. San Francisco Giants, they've agreed to a 6-year deal with righty Johnny Cueto. The deal worth around $130 million. Also, Warriors back home after being handed their first loss of the season. They play next Wednesday against Phoenix. Harrison Barnes, though, will be out this week. Interim head coach Luke Walton with an update.
He won't play this week. You know, it's nice to have the schedule we have right now so that with only two games the whole week, it'll be a good chance for him to get some more rest. We'll reevaluate him at the end of the week and see how he's doing.
Sports Center update brought to you by Hornblower Cruises and Events. Deck the halls on a Hornblower holiday cruise. Enjoy dining and entertainment perfect for taking friends or the entire family. Visit hornblower.com or 1-888-HORNBLOWER. I'm Gianna Franco on your home for Oakland Raiders football, 95.7 The Game.
We're back with the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. It is good to have you here. 888-957-9570 is the number, and we'll be taking your calls right up until 7 o'clock where we hand the baton to Chris Townsend and Zachariah. They'll be coming up. Again, the Raiders won a game that felt like it was going to be impossible for them to win it. Everything that could go wrong for them went wrong for them offensively in the first half. Their only success of that first half was the defense kept the Broncos out of the end zone. Keeping them out of the end zone, kind of the theme for the Raiders' defense against Denver. They did not score a touchdown against Jack Del Rio's team, and he liked that so much he didn't want to brag about it, but he made me say it twice to him.
He did. I'm sure it sounded good.
It had to sound good. Look, you know, you got a very good Denver defense frustrating you all day long, taking Amari Cooper right off the field in terms of game planning. He did nothing on that afternoon. Slot Roberts made a couple big plays, though. He did. Seth Roberts, man, he's really emerging this year. Clive Walford with a few big plays, and nobody played better than Khalil Mack, obviously. It was a bad day. Bad day, and it was a win still. That is improvement right there. Won't be perfect yet. They're not ready for the talent portion of this competition. They're not ready for the evening gown portion. But they belong now up on the stage. If this were a Miss America contest, the 49ers would have been thrown out of it for being the fattest, ugliest girl stuffing herself in a saran wrap. You have got to be kidding me. What the 49ers just showed you in Cleveland was the biggest scoop of team-wide incompetence you're going to see out of a franchise in a long, long time. And the finger-pointing session that came out of that locker room lets you know that this is fractured. This is over. Tom Sula never had that locker room's respect to begin with, and it ain't happening anymore. I mean, it's just done. It is done. It is over. What would be the point of firing anyone now? Well, it would be an instant improvement. The team just told you the coaches we have don't prepare us to win. We were not prepared was the message. We were not focused was the message. Well, you can't fire 53 guys at once. You can't even cut Eric Pierce, apparently. You got tight end depth issues, and instead of promoting Leonhart from the practice squad, which probably comes with a little bit more money, we're going to have Tony Gerard Eddy take a couple snaps at tight end in practice this week. Get out of here. Get out of here. You cannot be taken seriously again. So I don't know where it changes. You can't change owners. Jed York is so destructive. It's one thing to not know what you're doing. It's another to not know what you're doing, have it proven to you, and still try to do it again. The fact that the news hasn't already come out that at the end of this year, Jed York will be greatly reducing his own responsibilities and hiring a director of football operations as he moves to the I only sign the checks portion of the competition is ridiculous. But that won't happen. He thinks that Trent Baalke can do this, and now we know that isn't happening. Meanwhile, the Warriors are 24-1, and people are trying to complain about that. Damon, did you ever consider going into stand-up comedy with your only topic being the Niners? Thank you. Look, it's nothing fun. That's the thing. This isn't funny.
It's depressing.
This isn't funny. I can prove to you, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that the afternoon talk show host on 95.7 The Game knows more about football than the guy who's in charge of the Niners. I can prove that to you. And I'm not talking about Baalke. I'm talking about York. Gianna, would you have fired Jim Harbaugh after that 8-8 season?
No.
You're a better owner than Jed York will ever be. Ever. You have just done more than anyone I've ever seen do with this team, not named Jed York.
I should apply. I should have. Dang it.
Would you move the 49ers out of San Francisco?
Yeah, no. Mm-mm.
You are a better owner than Jed York, instantly. Elena had to leave. Button Vixen had to leave. We got Wes filling in the rest of the way.
It's kind of weird seeing him behind the desk. I'm not going to lie.
Wes, you know you look like a just got back from Vietnam vet when you wear that color green.
He does.
You look like a beaten down veteran who's just looking for a second chance. Wes, would you have fired Jim Harbaugh or moved the team out of San Francisco? Okay, the word that he said before, no, we can't even use on the air.
No.
Rhymes with truck. Thank you for just lipping that. It's unreal what has happened.
Damon, would you have hired Jim Tomsula?
No.
You're a better owner than Jed York ever was.
Thank you very much. Gianna, the next time you eat a burrito, are you going to completely unwrap the thing, or are you going to use the little handle in the metal of the aluminum foil that it's supposed to be?
Don't mess with my burrito eating skills.
I now know how Gianna eats a burrito. Okay.
Again, you typically have chips with most burritos, so right. I like the stuff to drip down onto my plate, then I scoop it up with my chips.
You went fork and knife.
I did. I want to see what's in my burrito when I've never had one before.
Couldn't just a bite off the top of the burrito give you the same reveal?
No, not the same, because I'm tasting it at the same time. Ah. I need a visual prior to.
Damon, what about doing stand-up on the Niners just using Ralph's voice?
Let me tell you, it really is a shame that I'm not on the air at this point in time, because there would just be hell to pay. Jed and Parag.
Oscar in San Francisco. What's going on, Oscar? How are you?
Oh, man, just so disappointed, Damon. After watching that game yesterday, I was super stoked. I got up at 9 o'clock in the morning, got my breakfast on. Then I saw that crap on TV. And I was like, what the hell is this crap? I mean, this was an abortion that got away. This was something that should have been left in a towel. But you know what?
It's a little morbid for what we normally...
I don't know about that reference.
Come on, Oscar.
Sorry about that. But this is a frustrated fan who loves his 49ers, been through it through the thick and thin. Even when we were sucking it after, you know, we lost Seifert, we were sucking for a bit. And there was only a couple hundred people at Candlestick. I was there. Carrying them on, you know, rooting even for when Alex Smith was sucking, I was rooting.
Well, look, you know, I mean, there's a reasonable fan understands that you cannot maintain Hall of Fame quarterback after Hall of Fame quarterback after automatic 12-win season. After, I mean, every team has a every team has a competitive life cycle. What is frustrating about the Niners is Jed York went out of his way to end this team's competitive life cycle years before it needed to end. That's okay, what kills this team.
You let me go.
Yeah.
One more thing before you let me go. As far as the players go, saying they, you know, they underestimated the Browns and everything. That's when Sula, coach Tom Sula, should have stepped up the plate and said, you know what, should have docked them pay. He said, you know what, since you guys don't have heart to play, you know, he could have took control of the reins right there.
Yeah, no, said, there's, you know, no, there's no one gets, no, you, there's a NFL players union, know, and you, you know, no one ever signs with you ever again. I tell you what, Oscar, thank you for the call. A little practice could go a long way, though. This is dead. No, that's, you know.
He had the passion.
Doctor, he had the
just
passion.
Just needs to learn to use his words better.
Yeah. Hey, Damon, I really tell you, this Niner team reminds me of back alley abortions. Well, thank you very, very much. We would probably find a different way to say I wasn't happy with the results. Thank you. Come on, Damon. We're doing abortion jokes on the radio now. Did you just hear that? That wasn't me. That was him. That was not me. That was him. You're going to hold the caller against me?
Blame the call screener.
That's right. Whose fault is that?
I see a man bun in our future. I see our first official man bun.
No, here's the thing. I let Spencer for Hire off the hook because I needed a iPhone charger earlier in the day. Damn. And he had the iPhone charger. So he had man bun immunity. We could put one on Wes.
He's not an intern, but I guess we could, right?
I think we should just put one on Wes to welcome him to the show officially.
That's a good idea.
You're an official man bun of welcome.
That is a good idea.
All right. We got one more segment. It will be something you'll never forget. It's maybe the most important 8 minutes of radio you've ever heard, and it's coming up next. It's an oversell right there, I'm telling you right now. It's just going to be a good end of the show today. It's all we're going to promise you is we will do the best we can to end with a flourish. We're not going to be tentative about it. We're not going to cut our burrito with a fork and knife. We're just going to bite into our final segment, and hopefully it tastes good. And remember, guys, when you are dating that new someone special out there, always take them to get a burrito early on, and you know exactly how wide they open their mouths. This is the Damon Bruce Show.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Look good, feel good, play good. And the Dolphins taking their electric Kool-Aid acid test blew off in the stupid cruise missile-looking Dolphin design. New Dolphin, suck. Old Dolphin, better. And right now, the old Dolphins are leading 17-10 over the Giants. And they got the old unis, the old helmets, and actually look like the Miami Dolphins for the first time in a long time. What's going on? Look at you wearing, first of all, somebody got a new jacket, somebody got a new sweater.
Yeah, a scarf or something.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a new scarf, exactly.
We have a photo shoot tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen.
So you're wearing it today?
So I got the haircut, I got the beard trimmed up. I'm looking good for the photo shoot for tomorrow. Well, my barber could only do it today.
Okay.
And fair I only enough. Go to one barber.
But explain the scarf.
And the wardrobe.
It's cold. I'm okay. Cold. And now that I have short hair, my head
colder.
Gets cold. And I have like satellite dishes for ears. My ears get so cold. I need beanies. I need scarves. I need things
Let
to
me see.
Protect
take your
myself.
Headphones off.
I like
you're
the
Chicago,
jacket.
So
like
you're like, you're a wuss. But
take your headphones. Do your hair. You.
I got satellite dishes.
No, they're
Damon.
Not bad. I'm
you're being
tell,
nice.
No, I'm going to tell you right now, man.
Well, it's not Andrew Siciliano.
No,
but.
I had a buddy of mine, too, who had. He didn't even have really big earlobe. He didn't have big ears. He had huge earlobes, and we called him Lobi One Kenobi. And
that's almost as good as Mama
even,
Chewbacca.
Yeah, you're not
that's
even.
Pretty good.
You are not even in the neighborhood
All right.
of big. You should feel good about your ears.
I'm feeling a little better.
I feel good
they're
about your ears.
Townie and Zachariah, 7 to 11. We have Mark Abanez. You know him from KTVU.
I was just on with him on Saturday. Oh. Excuse me, on Sunday. Yeah, Sunday morning. I was on
with him. Sunday and another day? What, didn't I see you on a day when you were going to do?
No, I was only.
Channel 2?
No, well, that's the thing. They tape on a Wednesday. And then they aired on
Saturday.
Let the
secrets out. You have been good at that lately.
I didn't mean to do that. My bad. Amy Trask at 8:30 and Jordan Ramirez Warriors World at 9:30. Pretty good guest list. Aaron did some work today.
Are you going to talk about this shameful one game losing streak now that they're on?
Oh, it's Panicville. Well, did you hear me? I got killed because we were on right after the game was over.
And I did listen.
I blame Clay. Sorry, shouldn't have played. If somebody else was in his minutes, I think they would have won.
No,
he shouldn't have played. I know. I got killed for it. No, nobody has backed me on this, by the way. But
they lost that game.
They were tired.
They lost that game the minute the second overtime tipped off in Boston. Here you go. Just so you know, it wasn't even them. The Warriors on open
shots.
The Warriors on open shots were 22% coming out of the paint. How about this? Here's how tired and how few little legs the Warriors had. The Warriors didn't just come on the open jumpers. They were 8 for 48 outside of the restricted area. That's the worst. That is the team's worst shooting performance outside of the restricted area in 20 years.
Good Lord.
And there have been a lot of bad Warrior teams in the last 20 years.
They were tired.
They were exhausted.
Still Ben Clay. By the way, loved your tweet. What was it? Football be crazy sometimes?
Yeah, football be cray-cray, yes.
I mean, we were potentially talking about the Niners and Raiders having the same record. Instead, the Raiders go to Denver and win.
Right.
And the Niners go to Cleveland, who was the only franchise more pathetic than the Niners.
Not anymore.
And put up a stinker.
Not anymore.
How much of a reflection on the coaching staff is, we were a little overconfident. Good Lord.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Your ears are fine.
They're proportionate.
Lose the scarf.
Shave a little.
Lose the scarf. Your ears are fine. This is Zach in the city. How you doing, Zach?
Hey, David. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, I just want to chime in on listening to the Del Rio interview. I actually heard it twice today. I just can't, you know, commend that guy enough, man. He just seems like, he's coached with so much heart. And it's hard not to like that guy and like the Raiders organization right now.
Yeah, he's a straight shooter, and he answers. I always feel like how you answer a question is direct reflection on your own confidence level. And Tom Sula can't speak. I think it reflects on his confidence to have the job. And you listen to Jack Del Rio, that's what a head coach sounds like.
No, it's like a complete 180 from, Dennis Allen, Tom Sula, Jack Del Rio, Harbaugh. You know, I'm a 49er fan. That's exactly what I see. And, I'm on board with the Raiders, man. They're they got a good thing going.
Thanks a lot, Zach. I appreciate your call. This is Josh in Oakland. How are you, Josh?
Hey, Damon Bruce. Thanks for taking my call. First off, Bruce, I have to give you a little shame. You disrespected the James Brown. The first time I've ever heard you disrespected James Brown, he didn't even get to the baby.
I know. Well, here's the deal. But it happened because if it happens before we go to break, but I was going long, so I had to get out of that segment. If it had started, we would have stopped, paused, reflected, and respected. We cut it off before it even got to it. That's what happened. But I do apologize, and thank you. We will show James the respect tomorrow.
Okay, for sure. Second thing, 95.7 the game. I see you stepping it up. Got your pictures in the corner on the radio. That's nice. But the third thing I want to get at was even though the Niners – since the Niners season is over, or been over since it started, really, I was just thinking of what could have been and how nice it would have been if the Niners would have actually stayed in San Francisco with the Warriors going to San Francisco and the Giants already being there. That element in that environment.
Yeah, it would have been awesome.
Amazing. Oh my, and it's like, why would you mess that up? Opposed from the, even if you was having a bad season, even if the season you had this exact season, but it's just like, if you would have been in a nuance in the area of that, it just would have just been better than being always Santa Clara surrounded by nothingness. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very much, Josh. I appreciate it. Mike Baybridge. How are you, Mike? You're going to be our final caller of the day, so stick the landing for me.
All right. So first off, I want to say I love the show. My wife loves the show because she likes Gianna. So
thank you.
Thank you.
This show works for me when I'm in the car with her. So the Levi Stadium, I love hearing you make fun of it. But you know how it's supposed to be like a tech-savvy, state-of-the-art stadium? Well, I went over there for WrestleMania, and I was on the floor seats, And I was walking up the first section, and I kept seeing this black cord that was taped going down each and every single step. So to me, that kind of caught me off guard. I thought this was supposed to be a high-tech.
Well, but that might have, you know, look, I'll defend the stadium for just a second, saying that that black cord might have been WWE related, something that they put into the stadium. Not that the Niners have that. If the Niners needed that, it would be there for football games too. But look, overall, did you think, wow, this is absolutely $1.3 billion worth of the best stadium I've ever sat in? Or did you think, what's the big deal?
I mean, honestly, it wasn't that big of a deal, but I thought the stadium was built for events, so that kind of caught me off guard.
It is. I mean, but here's the deal: like, you're in the middle of Silicon Valley, you get no credit for being tech savvy. You don't.
Right.
You don't. You don't get like a big round of applause for being the bare minimum of local standard. What isn't tech savvy in the Bay Area? That would be like going to China and raving about the Chinese food. Yeah, over there it's just called food, man. Thanks so much. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Thanks to Jim Bowden, Jack Del Rio, Chris Sheridan, and out of the blue, Crook.
Mike nice.
Kruko joined us.
Good surprise.
Good to talk to him. Thank you very much to the entire support staff, Spencer for Hire. You avoid the man bun today, Spencer, but... like, just, like, by a hair. By a, whew, lucky you had that charger on you, man. Thank you so much to Danny, as always. Thank you, Gianna. Always a pleasure. Thank you to Bouton Vixen, Elena, who took off a little early. And Wes, thanks an awful lot for coming on in and doing your Lieutenant Dan impression as you ran the board. Really, thank you. Thanks to all of you for tuning in. We're going to be back tomorrow right at 3 o'clock. Until then, oh, we'll let Harrison Barnes, Tony Bruno, Adam Kaplan. It's going to be a great show tomorrow. Enjoy yourself. Take care of each other. And remember, sports don't build character. They reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.